This is the Creative Sports Podcast.
My name is Justin Peterson, and joining me are Darius Thomas.
You all are funny.
And Karina Anglada.
Oh, I want to ask about thrift shopping.
It's probably not very often you see a professional sports franchise hire a social media person as one of its very first employees. It's also rare that you see that person become a one-man street team to get the excitement going. That was exactly the case for Zach Pagans, social media manager for the Seattle Kraken. He takes us inside of what it was like helping build the franchise by going door to door.
All right, so Karina and I are going to do some foolishness, and we're going to head over to Time That Is for a thing that is just part of the show. You don't have to worry about it. It'll just be us, and
it gives me anxiety.
Karina, you get to choose what our time is today.
Okay, let's do at the 15 second mark.
15, that's like next week.
No, 5 seconds for me.
Oh, that is so.
I can't.
That is so bad. That is so bad. 29.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Why is it so? I can't. I don't like this.
I'm gonna tell you what just happened. So, I don't know how far you are behind. But I timed mine 40. Based on like where you were.
Me?
And it was actually on time.
Okay. I don't know what I'm doing.
Based on the natural delay. So, all good.
Do you have an interest in adding motion design to your skill set, but just aren't sure where to start?
Let's go!
Welcome to Baller FX, your source for sports content and motion tutorials. From tips and tricks to long-form tutorials and project deep dives, there's a lot to take in. There's even a free mini-course playlist called How to Animate Sports for Social. This playlist will take you step-by-step through the process of creating a 5-second animated player stat graphic. For your sport-specific motion training, visit BallerFX on YouTube and get started today.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Creative Sports Podcast. We have a very special guest today. We have Zach Pagans from the Seattle Kraken joining us, who is the social media manager. Zach, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Excited to talk to you guys.
All right, so let's jump right into it. Let's talk about how you got to where you are today, being a social media manager for an NHL team.
Yeah, it's a definitely crazy journey. I always tell people that. I think if you had told me in college that I'll be doing social media for a hockey team, I'd be like, there's no way. Like, that's crazy. So I started at college. So for me, I went to University of Washington, and I knew I wanted to work in sports. Growing up, I played soccer and basketball. I was too small to play football, so my parents let me do that. But a big football fan. So going to college, okay, I want to do something in sports. Wasn't sure what exactly that was. And during my sophomore year, an internship opened up at the athletic department for UW. And I got the internship and is with the marketing and game day experience. And that was kind of like my intro there, like doing a lot of game day stuff, marketing for all different teams, from football, volleyball, baseball. And that was really my way to kind of network and kind of get my foot in the door into the industry. So I spent 2 years of my undergrad doing that. And then after graduation, I had an internship lined up with the Seahawks, and I thought I was going to do that. And then another opportunity kind of opened up for me. My boss told me about this startup here in Seattle called Tagboard. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with Tagboard. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, love Tagboard.
Shout out to Tagboard. And
it's like right before I was going to graduate too, and I was like, internship or full-time job? And I was like, should I go the Tagboard route? I never really heard of it. Didn't know too much about social media at the time. And it was an awesome experience. Spent about 2 years there. That was really my intro into the social media sports side. You know, I was working with a lot of our sports partners, getting them set up with that. And that's where I kind of learned about, like, oh, wow, each college brand has these like accounts that's being run by a team of people. Well, I guess at the time it's kind of just one person. But just seeing that, that's pretty cool, and can hopefully maybe someday do that myself. But working with those teams and just kind of going into that industry was a great experience for me. But then working in a startup, you know, there's the highs and then there's the lows. One of the highs, I got sent to London, help open up an office there. And then one of the lows, it's actually kind of ironic we're doing this podcast now, because literally this time, 7 years ago, I was on vacation with my dad and I got a call from my boss like, hey, can we talk? And I was like, all right, that's
that's scary.
Yeah. And so it's one of those moments where like I jumped on the call and I immediately knew, I was like, shoot, I'm like on speaker. Like, I know this isn't, can't be good news. Unfortunately, I was part of a layoff during that time. So it's tough. You know, obviously being on vacation with my dad, I was 23 at the time. And I kind of thought I knew what my 5-year plan was. I kind of had it all laid out, like things I wanted to explore. And then it's kind of all gone. And it sucks knowing that there's not much I can do about it. So I was unemployed for about 5 months. And then my old boss at UW, he had reached out to me. Didn't know I was laid off. Didn't know I was unemployed. He said, hey, there's this cool opportunity that Lance Lopes is kind of leading. It's potentially bringing hockey to Seattle. It's renovating Key Arena and potentially the Sonics featured down. And that kind of clicked. I was like, ooh, Sonics, you know? Mm-hmm. And you know, I had nothing to do. So I was like, yeah, I met with Lance and he just needs some help getting this stuff off the ground. So I joined, 2017. And I joined as a community outreach coordinator. So really just walking around the neighborhood, telling people about, hey, there's going to be a city council vote about renovating Key Arena, which is now Client Pledge Arena, bringing hockey to Seattle, which I sounded crazy to people because, you know, it's a pretty new market. And from there, I kind of did a little bit of everything from, like I said, the community outreach. And then it obviously got passed. We got awarded a team. And then I kind of worked a little bit more on our arena side with like the marketing and social media on that. And then once we had like our brand launch for the Kraken, I was helping my boss now with kind of some of the social media stuff, like replying back to fans and a little bit of the posting. And then I kind of made that switch over to the Kraken side about 4 years ago, if that makes sense. So kind of helping with the social media team there. So I've been with the organization for 7 years. But I've been on the Kraken social side for about 4 of them.
That's amazing. Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those crazy stories. It's, like I said, if you told me 7 years ago, I'll be working on a hockey team. That's crazy.
Yeah. So 7 years ago, if you knew what you knew now, what would you tell your 7 years ago self in that moment?
Yeah, I think in that moment, just don't be afraid to try new things. You know, I think growing up, I was a very, very casual hockey fan. Like, I knew a little bit of hockey. Like, I knew some of the teams and stuff. But I think, especially now, like, when I tell people, like, for career advice, like, try anything, you know? Like, just because it might be a new sport, maybe it's a different industry, you know? I think anywhere you get your foot in the door, you can pick up different skills and learn new things anywhere you go. So, yeah, I think for me, just telling myself, like, don't be afraid to try it, you know? You never know what you could bring to that industry, the things you can learn, things you can gain. So that's definitely it.
From a creative standpoint, like, at what age did you know that you wanted to try something or anything in the creative realm?
But I mean, I feel like I've always kind of had that creative outlet, even like in high school, whether it's like creating videos with friends. This is way back when, before, like with the old school digital cameras. I feel like I've always kind of had that outlet there. I kind of had that mindset of just trying to think outside the box. And then, like I said, I think in 2015, when social media was kind of really picking up for sports teams, it just kind of connected my passion for sports growing up and also kind of connecting my creative outlet and kind of putting it right together with social media. So I think I've kind of always had that mindset of just trying to think outside the box and being creative. But I think it's really kind of flourished recently with this job.
Do you find that mindset is like a similar culture to the Kraken? Because it sounds like, you know, even in your journey, started as a community outreach coordinator, then made the transition to the arena side, and then are now in a social media role, and you've been able to grow in a lot of ways. And I'm wondering, is that very much a part of the culture of the organization, or do you feel like it's more because the Kraken was kind of starting from the ground up type of thing?
Yeah, I think it's kind of both. I always say that like the Kraken is very much like a startup culture, you know, where we're
that's cool.
We're still very new, like in the Seattle market. I think we're trying to do things differently. You know, I think a lot of times, it's in sports, typically people tend to hire people who have had the prior experience or they've worked with before. But I think a cool thing here, especially like a lot of execs and people just around, they come from different industries. We have people from nonprofits, people with no sports background, which is really cool. Cause then like in those meetings, like we might be discussing something and someone's like, why do we do it this way? You know, and people are like, oh, it's just what we do in hockey, or it's just how it's been done. But we have a bunch of people like myself, like I only have a hockey background, but I think we always want to try to challenge the status quo. Like, why do we do it this way? Like, can we try it a different way? You know, I think it's something you see in the whole organization from top down, having that startup mentality, which is really cool. It's a very unique thing to have. And for me, I've kind of, my only two jobs have been working in startups. So I've always had that mindset.
I mean, obviously you haven't like spent 10, 15 years in like sports, but do you think that there is some advantage to people kind of finding like habits, or is it more advantageous to always be on the, you know, kind of cutting edge and trying new things, and, you know, where's the balance in it?
Yeah, and that's the tough one. I wish I could have the answer on like where exactly that balance is, because there are times in meetings where people might bring up this idea. It's like, all right, that's it's a good thought, but that's not going to, we can't really do that whole thing. So it's kind of like, how do we meet you in the halfway point, you know, at the same time? Like there's, especially in hockey, and hockey's tend to be pretty, I'm more on the safe side of not really trying to think outside the box and a lot of stuff. So I think it is in those meetings, trying to find, not shutting down like any idea. We always tend to say like, there's no bad ideas. Like, hey, just throw whatever you want at the wall. And like, you never know what's going to stick. You never know what might trigger someone else or spark a different idea. But yeah, I think there's definitely a need to have a balance. So you can't always go about some of these crazy ideas or things we want to do. But I think it's a healthy thing to have, especially in meetings or brainstorm sessions, just here at the Kraken.
I love that. And what's been the most proud moment you've had, you know, throughout your career thus far, if you had to pick one?
I had to pick one. That's a lot. But I think for me, it had to be our inaugural home opener at Klein Pledge Arena. Because like I said, I was there since day, I was really walking around this neighborhood, going door to door, telling people about us bringing hockey. And like, no one really, I was like, what do you mean hockey? A lot of people were like, oh no, we want basketball, you know? So it's like,
oh no.
Yeah. And like, obviously like the songs always kind of loom over, but I think just seeing the city really take hold of the Kraken, like you see Kraken gear all over the place.
Yeah.
And I always like, I see people wearing it all the time. People are like, oh, like, I'm not a huge hockey fan, but I like the colors, or I like the design, or I like what they're doing.
Yes. Too,
which is awesome. Especially for me, literally going door to door with this crazy pitch at people, and then kind of seeing the city grasp and just seeing that the arena come to life. It's a beautiful arena. I'm not sure if you guys have been seeing pictures of it, but it's awesome environment. Definitely, if you ever make a trip up to Seattle, you have to come through. And I remember being up on the press bridge at the opening puck drop, and I kind of just like took it all in and just, it was definitely kind of a long journey. It was tough for me to go from having a job and kind of thinking I kind of knew where my career was going to then felt like taking a step back and literally doing like door-to-door work. It just didn't, it's tough for me to get over that mentally.
Totally.
Like not really knowing what this job was going to take me to. Each day is kind of different, you know, from being on the arena side to then the team side. So I think just kind of then seeing the puck drop and just being, having the role I'm in, you know, I think it was just kind of very surreal for me at that moment.
You know, you talked about, you know, going door to door, and we live in an age now where everything has to be social driven, and that's the only way for a lot of people. Like, go back to those days where you were like a part of a street team, basically, right? That street team marketing, like, you know, you see that a lot in like certain, you know, like the music culture. You know, people used to sell records out of, you know, their trunk or at a booth or at a, you know, small shop. And you were able to kind of do that in the modern age. Kind of what was going through your mind, like in those times where it was maybe you and possibly a couple others, but like you're a part of a street team and like the 20s.
Yeah. It was really just me. I was just street team.
Wow, dude, that's awesome.
Like my boss, like Lance, he kind of gave me a couple bullet points to what I talked about. I had to make my own like little business cards. So it's just like, and it's just more just telling people, like trying to get an email base essentially, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think even I've done the door-to-door stuff, and I was just trying to send you guys some pictures, but for our city council meetings to kind of build some, I guess, hype around it, I had to make these like cardboard signs for people to hold, like saying like bring hockey to Seattle. And I'm creative, but I'm not good with the art. So like I was saying these signs. These are like cardboard signs, like picket fence type stuff, and like doing just literally a little bit of everything. As a solo street team person, I guess. But I think during that time it was tough, like I said, but I think it's important just to have that face to face, and hopefully now I look back on like a lot of those businesses I went to, like right next to the arena, they're all flourishing now because you have business from obviously from the sports events, from the concerts. So there's an event like literally every other day at the arena, especially you got to think about with COVID, a lot of these places were shutting down. And like the area too, like Key Arena, there wasn't much going on before. I think obviously when the Sonics left, that kind of left a shadow there, but a lot of the businesses were kind of struggling. But now when you come into the area, there's a lot more foot traffic, which is cool to see. Because I remember going door to door, and people, they wouldn't turn me away, but they'd be like, "What are you talking about?" You know, like I'd be like, "Hey, we're gonna be renovating Key Arena. We're gonna bring hockey to Seattle. This is all gonna happen in the next like 2 or 3 years." And you know, people were like, "What? Like how? Like how is this gonna happen? And like, who are you?" You know, so it's like seeing all the businesses, restaurants kind of flourishing now is really cool to see.
What's interesting to me about your journey is that, you know, you got direct feedback from some folks, right? When you were on the, you know, community team and doing that outreach. And, you know, like you mentioned, somebody saying, "Well, we want basketball. What do you mean hockey?"
Yeah.
And now you're on the social media side where in a different way, you are getting that direct communication from fans. And, you know, I've been on, you know, sports Twitter or sports X, whatever we're calling it now these days, and seeing, you know, some pretty like sad responses to folks running the social accounts, others that are like really awesome and funny and clever. What's your take on that side of the job where it's just like people can say anything and whatever they want to you? And how do you manage what comes with all of that?
Yeah, I was actually about this the other day. Like, I feel like I am pretty immune to some of the comments. Like, obviously I know a lot of people are just trolls and fake accounts, people just hiding behind their screens, but I do look through it all. You know, I do like look through all the comments, all replies, because it helps me, you know, it helps kind of see what fans, whether it's a good post, whether it's good content, like seeing how fans react to it, you know, or whether it might be a loss and looking at see how fans are feeling, what's the vibe around, because then that helps me moving forward too, like with the content. We don't want to, because at the same time, like sports is, it's a great thing. I think everyone has their feelings, but we're also, like, we feel the same way, you know, when the team loses, like, we're also bummed, you know,
yeah.
Like you want to have success. But I think it's important to go through those comments, go through those replies. Doesn't mean that we have to reply back to everyone, but just seeing what the vibe is and seeing how people are reacting to content. I mean, there's always going to be all the negativity, and it is tough sometimes, especially when people kind of just attacked. People like to attack the admins sometimes, which is crazy.
That's never made sense to me at all. But
in my head, I'm like, you're the one who looks crazy right now.
Right. Let's talk about that. Like, people look crazy. And I'm like, you really out here and like, of all the things to do in this world, you choose to troll? Like, anyways, no, I could go on a rant, but
it's like, you need to go outside, put your phone down.
This is not
life or death right here on social media posts. Like, This is not what it's about.
That's funny. And that same note, has there been any like, you know, super memorable comment that you've had or you know, something that you've been really proud of as an organization that you've seen?
Yeah, I think for me, I was having the benefit of being here since day one and seeing people kind of seeing like there's been different phases. There's a phase before we launched our name and our brand, and fans were kind of like, "Oh, hockey seems exciting, you know?" And then once the jersey and the logo and the team name came out, that built more excitement. You kind of see that around the city. And then that first season is great. And then last year we made it to the playoffs and like fans got to experience playoff hockey, which is a whole nother beast. But I think every time just seeing fans get way more excited and way more engaged in, with our players and obviously with the stuff that we're posting. And then, like I said earlier, fans wearing all the Kraken gear around the city. I think just seeing it just keep escalating, increasing each season, each almost like every day, just seeing that and having a part of that as well, too, with our social content, playing a little role in that, just seeing the fans really just be engaged with the whole brand, the whole organization.
What's the energy like inside the building? We obviously saw the buildup, you know, and the excitement, you know, before the season started, you know, that inaugural year. But what's the energy like around in there?
It's insane. I mean, I think with Seattle sports fans in general, like, you know, the Seahawks fans of the 12s, like how loud we are with that. And like very passionate fan base. I mean, you probably say about any city, but with Seattle, especially, they're going to bring the noise no matter what, whether it's the Seahawks, Mariners, Huskies. I think even inside that building, though, it's so, and the way it's built too, it's a great setup. Like the fans are literally like right on top of you. And the players always talk about how loud it is, no matter what, especially with our team. It's like, we're still very casual sports fans at times. So I think people, like, yes, we might be losing, people are still excited just to see it. I love our goal song as well. But I think last year during that playoff run, there was a couple of moments I was like, this roof is going to explode. Like, it's for how loud it was and just seeing the passionate fans kind of get behind the team. But yeah, it's tough to measure, but it's definitely up there with like the Seahawks crowd. It's the same crowd. Just imagine that in our arena.
Are you a Seattle native too? Or
I grew up like 2.5 hours east of Seattle. But I've been here, I was telling you, I've been here since college. So, and I grew up a Seattle sports fan as well.
That's awesome. I absolutely love your journey. It's spectacular. Since you spend so much time in the social media space, how do you balance personal and professional? And, you know, do you turn your phones off or apps like only certain times of the day? What's your general take on that?
It's tough. I can't lie. I think it's always, which with social media, we're 24/7. But it's nice. I work with our social team. There's three of us. Which is nice. We are actually this season able to kind of take some games off, which is really clutch. And just being with, like, on a game night, I'm able to just turn off and not have to be worried about working the game or working every other night. But I think for day-to-day stuff, I think it's tough for me to go off my phone because I feel like I'm always on social. But when I do try, just try to, whether it's going to working out or going to play basketball or just go for a walk, you know, I think just trying to take some time away from the phone is take away some screen time is always clutch. It's something that I'm trying to work out right now. I think it's tough to turn off a lot of times, you know, like, especially as humans, we're always connected, always plug in. But I think working on the putting my phone down for a while, whether it's 10 minutes or even just taking a quick break.
So with the social conversation, it is everyone jumps on trends. And that's one of our popular topics around that we talk about, you know, trends. What's your take on that as a social media manager? Do you think that, you know, following trends is good or kind of, you know, building your own lane where you can, you know, not rise and fall with or try to change strategy every time a new TikTok dance or a new Instagram trend comes on?
Yeah, and I feel like that happens literally every other hour, there's something new coming up. But I think for us, like my boss, Savannah, we worked on like our strategy and our brand, like our pillars before. So we have like that foundation and something we always can kind of go back to. But at the same time, like it is social media, you do want to kind of stay with the trends, but I think it's kind of taking those trends and see what fits your brand, you know, like, and each platform is different. Like we're not going to post a TikTok dance on Facebook, you know, I think so knowing each platform, knowing the audience and knowing what our foundation is, I think having that has helped me at least moving forward. Like I know what we're looking for. I know what we want. And then it's kind of taking that trend or maybe it's a meme or something. And does it fit with our team? Is it something that's relevant? Because I think a lot of times we see people just hop on trends just because, and it's totally off their, it's like, I'll be looking for them like, why are they posting this? Like this has nothing to do with them. You know, it just feels forced. And I feel like everyone now is like way smarter with kind of recognizing that. So I think just taking, knowing what's out there, especially with our TikTok stuff, I think that's always, there's something new every time. But I think a member of our team, Zach Zeman, he does a great job in kind of managing our TikTok, and he's always kind of staying with the trends and kind of knows what to take that kind of matches our brand. So I think it's really important to having that foundation, having that strategy in place beforehand and knowing what can fit. I think a lot of times, like I said, people tend to just to force stuff, just to put stuff out there just to be relevant. But I think it's kind of taking what that trend is and seeing if it does fit within your brand guidelines.
Yeah. And what's the relationship like between all of the externals? So you have social, you have video and creative and in-game production. Kind of how does all of that work in Seattle?
Yeah, I think we have like a meeting being like on Mondays, like everyone kind of goes through like what's coming for the week, what's coming for the game, what's the process, what's coming later in the month. We have this community event, we need video on this. This will be shown in arena. So it's kind of having that touch point at the beginning of the week is always helpful. And obviously we kind of all work with each other closely here in the office. But I think with social, like I always tell people, like, you're kind of in the center, like you're a touch point for every department, whether that's ticketing, partnerships, sales, like everyone's, at some point you're going to have communication with somebody in this office. So I think balancing that out, I think we've done a great job of making sure everyone's clear on what everyone's strategy is and knowing what, hey, this is what partnership needs and making sure that they're aligned as well. So I think having those daily meetings really helps out. But I think it's important to know that social media, like you are the center of the spider web, I guess you can say.
On that note, we're going to play a little bit of a game. So you have like 30 seconds. It doesn't have to be. Well, actually, you know what? Let's time. We're going to do this for real. 30 seconds to list off all of the things in your work toolkit, right? So things that you're always using, items you're always working with. It can be programs, whatever you want, but I want to hear in 30 seconds as many things that are in your day-to-day toolkit. Okay, ready, set, go.
All right, number one is my phone. I do everything on my iPhone. And then obviously Slack, I feel like I'm always on there. I use Canva. I also use Photoshop. I try to use, I'm not good at Premiere. Like you know when I make something, it's very obvious. and then we use this platform called Influencer. That's how we send our players content that they need. Greenfly, which is the league things for LSC photos. And oh man, I mean obviously all the social media apps, if that counts.
That was pretty good.
That was really
in 30 seconds.
That was very good.
Everything's on my phone. I mean, obviously I know I have like a nice camera that I use for pictures and stuff, but I try to use everything. Like, you can get so much good stuff with your phone nowadays.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What's your favorite out of all? Like, what do you like enjoy the most?
Which app or?
Yeah, like of those that you listed, like what are you most excited for? And what's your least favorite? Let's go there.
Oh man, my least favorite. I mean, I probably have to go with I always tend to struggle with like Photoshop or Premiere, but if I'm being honest there, I think my favorite, I think just for the ease of use is probably Canva. I tend to use Canva a lot on the run. And then I also use Lightroom too to edit photos I'll transfer stuff from my camera when I'm like on the bench during warmups, and I can easily just get stuff out, edit it, and post it up on social.
So for
we gotta talk about Adobe stuff. We gotta one on one after this.
Yeah, no, we're gonna have a one on one non Adobe as well. So are you trying to use Premiere on and not to make this an Adobe, you know, platform?
Speaking of it,
yeah, by Adobe.
For video, like how much are you are you trying to use it on a phone or are you trying to use it on a computer? Because Karina can train you on the computer, you know.
Stop. Okay, let's not. We're not doing that. I was kidding. Sort of. Partially.
Yeah, I definitely rely heavily on our video team. They're the ones who do that stuff. But there's sometimes I'm like, maybe I can try this, you know, just to take some stuff off their plate and then end up messing it up. Whereas then I just like, they come up and clean up for me. So yeah, so shout out to our video team. They're the ones who, they're the real MVPs.
Yes.
But I mean, I love this part of the conversation because it's collaboration between departments is so important, right? And, you know, there are, it's funny. I feel like back when I started in my career, I feel like there was a little bit more, not divisiveness between units, but it seems like, you know, teams are kind of blurring the lines between the sharing and capturing and all of those things. So it's awesome that you're collaborating so closely. And I feel like what you mentioned, having that background on the arena side and just like boots on the ground and like you've done it all, so to speak. And so I love that part of the conversation.
Yeah, I think it just shows that there's really so many, like, you never know what your journey is going to be. And like I said earlier, don't be afraid to try something new and kind of go beyond another door, because you never know what that will open up. Like I said, I feel like I'm a perfect example for that. Like, if you told me I'll be doing social media for a hockey team, like I said, that's, I want to do something like, for, I want to be in sports, but I had no idea it's going to be hockey, you know?
Yeah. So that's, that leads me to an interesting question. This will not be a timed game, but it's more like a brain twister or whatever.
Okay. Here we go.
You always knew that you wanted to work in sports. You work as a social media manager. If you had another skill that wasn't a social manager, what would you be? Like, if you could pull out of a toolbox, this is my new skill, and I'm going to go down this career path, what would it be?
Oh, that's a fun question. I want to answer it.
Do you want to answer it first?
Oh gosh, I gotta think. I gotta think. I don't want to answer.
I know
first.
What your answer would be. That's a, you'd probably, that's a be good on question. Broadway somewhere.
Me? Oh, absolutely. Actually, well, yes, I would. That is an option. But I really, you guys, I want to be a mascot. I want to do it.
You can
one
do
day.
It.
I think. Rumble. I think I would be awesome. It was, would look so fun.
I think you would kill it.
when I was an intern at University of Washington in the athletic department, like, you know, with being an intern, it's like other duties assigned.
Yeah.
I'll never forget this. There's a day in the summertime, I was still doing some like office work, just volunteering. And I hear my boss saying like, hey, we got to do this video shoot, but all our Harry the Husky mascots are gone. And like, and it was just me in the room. And I was like, oh no, they're going to ask me to do this. And they turn like, hey Zach, are you free? And I was like, and then, you don't have a choice, you have to do this. So I had to jump into a Husky mascot suit. This is during the summer. It's super hot outside. I'm doing a video shoot with the cheerleaders, like this Microsoft Surface commercial where I had to do a dance. And I'm like,
oh my gosh, it was sponsored and everything?
Sponsored and everything. And I was like, I can't do this. And I get into the suit, it's sweaty. You can't, like, obviously, you can't touch your face. Like, I have sweat in my eyes. I can't do this. I'm trying to learn this dance. I can't dance. And I'm like, this is, I did so bad. They didn't even use the clips.
Oh no.
Wow.
So yeah, that's my mascot experience. And it was, I have a bunch of respect for mascots for what they do.
Wow.
So you've had the highlight of your career, right? Watching the puck drop, the low light of your career. One of them trying to be a mascot. I didn't think about the not being able to like.
Yeah.
Wipe your sweat. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It's not like the air mascot deal.
What is that?
Like Spike at Georgia. The one that.
Oh, that they have air inside. Yes, yes, yes. I understand. Like circulating. Got it. Yeah. I mean, it's sort of a joke, sort of serious, but I would love to be a mascot, I think at least for one day. But I'm so small, I don't know if I would be able to fit.
I think you should do it.
I took away from our guest's time though, so I want to hear your answer
now
to this.
You have me thinking, like, okay.
I guess I would say I've always kind of, like, being a broadcaster, I think everybody growing up, you want, I was like, oh, I want to be on sport. You know, that's kind of like the game, to be like a Stuart Scott, you know, like I was oh, I really want to do that. So I think that probably would be one skill if I can do TV broadcasts and that kind of stuff. But I quickly realized I was not built for that.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of lends into my story of like Stuart Scott was the reason that I wanted to get into sports broadcast, and I went to school to major in computer science, but then I was like, oh yeah, I could be like the next Stuart Scott, because I always had aspirations that I would work for, you know, that company. But I did one project and I was like, no. And then I would work events like softball or volleyball. And this is embarrassing. So I don't think anybody probably remembers this that I went to school with. But back then we didn't have crowds at softball. So it was fine. So one day I was working and the PA announcer didn't show up. And so I had to had to PA three games in a tournament.
Wow.
It was embarrassing. Like,
let's get an example. I want to hear
listen,
it.
Yeah, right now. I could, you're not getting away with that question.
No. This is the explanation, the further explanation. The pronunciations had me all over the place. And the timing. It's like, because it's so, like, as soon as the person comes out of the box, you have to, like, you know how now, especially, like you may have your phone and you're like, oh, da 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 da. But like, as soon as the batter leaves the box, and next up is, and you have to cue yourself back then. Now they have like a team of people for some of them. But yeah, I realized then that being on camera and doing PA announcements, not me. Not doing it.
Yeah.
But are we going to get our example?
No, you're not.
We need a sample. Come on.
If I do a sample, we have to get. I kind of did an example.
I want to hear like up to bat and say.
Yeah.
Second baseman.
You all are funny. Okay. Cool. All right. It's.
Yeah, he's doing it.
Next up from. Oh wait, where are you from, Karina?
Chicago.
Next up from Chicago, Illinois, Karina Anglada.
First of all, you failed because I heard an S in Illinois, and that's not allowed for us from Chicago, Illinois.
Oh no, that was that. I did not say Illinois.
Oh, okay.
Should we put the replay on? Maybe not. But yeah, I used to always imagine myself as like, so in college, I also did like, we did parties, house parties. And one of my line brothers DJed in college. And so he would DJ and I would be the hype man. But I always, you know, go to the games and I'm like, man, one day I could probably be the in arena host. And like just hype it up, because like who wouldn't want to do that, right? Like, you know, get to.
A lot of people don't want to do that, but
it would be. I thought that I was a hype man. It worked when it did, but PA announcing at softball, well, I retired after one day. I'm pretty sure they told me not to come back.
Well, I feel like in sports, like we all have probably done like other duties assigned, like I said, like
masks.
I've had to do a couple like DJ, a couple like football games and pep rallies, but I say DJ, it's more just like on getting
running the music.
It wasn't much, but people don't need to know that. I put that on my resume. Like, oh yeah, I DJed a football game. You know,
100%.
You don't need to know how I DJed it, right? But so that kind of stuff. But yeah, the PA host, like I was like, that looks fun, but I can't do that. That sounds cheesy.
But we got to go back to the question. If you had another skill set, like what role would you want in a perfect world? If you could like snap of a fingers tomorrow. I'm butchering your question, Darius. But.
Oh, no, it's good. We're going to cut all of this out. I'm just kidding. We're leaving it. It's in there.
I mean, can I say graphic design?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I feel like the things that our team and just I see on social media, like it's insane. I envy that. Like you can tell when I do a Photoshop job, like it's just like a dumb meme or something. But I think having that skill of graphic design would be awesome. I think if I can switch to that, just magically have that power like Space Jam, that'd be great.
Yeah. And it's interesting.
Secret sauce. Suddenly be able to have. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say that, because we live in a world now, especially in sports, whether it's college or pro, where a lot of people lean into the, you need to have multiple skill sets. You got to be a photographer, videographer, graphic designer, singer, DJ, all the things, and get paid as, and mascot to get paid as one. Do you like being uber focused in a skill, or do you lean more into a wish I had, you know, these three subsets of skills to kind of round everything out?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I would love to have skills for everything, but I think having a focus on one thing is, or just a couple things, is nice, because then I can really put all my effort there. And it's also like same things like trusting your teammates and knowing I have a graphic team, knowing I have a video team, and utilizing them as well. Where I think that's where we see a lot of people kind of burn out, where they feel like they have to do everything on their own. And you kind of brought up the point where it's like people think, I feel like this is conception of like social media, like you have to be good at Photoshop, you have to be good at copywriting, you need to be good at all these different things. I think that kind of drew me away from it like a few years ago. I was like, I'm not good at Photoshop. Like, I can't do that with social media. But there's so many different other aspects of it. Like, you might be really good at copywriting, which is really big for
underrated like skill, by the way.
Yeah.
100%.
And doing copywriting like in less than 180 characters, you know, and being quick with it too, like being on the go, like saying the right thing. It takes time. Like, that's one thing I didn't realize, how long it takes to like write social copy. Like, sometimes you think, sometimes it's quick, but this sometimes like, they might send me like a video. It might be like an article or a video. And I got to describe this video, put it in a way that's engaging for people in all of them less than X amount of characters. It's tough. It takes time, but I think there's so many different skills that kind of go into the gig. I think, like I said, like 2015, I was kind of like, there's no way I could be a social media manager because I don't know how to do this. You know, I kind of just limit myself. But I think that's one thing I always try and tell people, there's different things that you can do, and you can always pick up new skills along the way. You know, especially nowadays, it's so easy. Like, you can go on YouTube and you can literally type in anything, kind of learn a new skill, or learn a new area. But yeah, I think for me, having that focus with the social media specifically is nice, but I think at the same time, I do need to have a little background with graphics or with video or whatever as well.
So that leads me to this point, because social media managers get a lot of flack for only being interns who post at big corporations and all of that.
Yep.
What do you say about that misconception? Obviously, I've worked with a number of social media managers and know what actually goes into that skill. But kind of talk about what that misconception does for people like yourself who actually do a lot of work behind just hitting send or post on a social media post.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's always, so you just tweet all day. You know, is that all you do? Or you just post on IG all day. You know, but there's so much more that goes into it. From, like I said earlier, you're literally a touch point for all these different departments, from sales, ticketing, partnerships. There's so many different goals coming in. And so it's like, okay, how do you achieve those goals with these different departments on social media that's in a way that's engaging for fans? You know, and each platform, I said this earlier too, like each platform is so different. You know, like we treat Facebook, we treat Twitter, like you guys treat them separately, you know, in a way. Like, it's different audience. So it's having that thought process and a lot of stuff. I can't just go post a video, a dancing video on Facebook. You know, there's different things we got to do for each platform. So it's not just tweeting whatever you want. You know, there's strategy behind each post. There's a hockey narrative that we're trying to achieve as well with our team and educating fans, especially with our fan base. Like, you're trying to balance where you're trying to respect the hardcore hockey fan, and also at the same time trying to engage and grow and revitalize a casual sports fan, or kind of get someone who might not be a sports fan to become a Kraken fan or just a hockey fan. So it's trying balancing that whole audience and trying to grow the game. And it's easy to look at from the outside, but there's so much that goes on for each person, even just planning our day, you know, it was very strategic in the posts you want to have out there. And it also kind of goes with the vibe of the team as well. Like sometimes it's easy when you're winning, like when you're on a winning streak, like I can post whatever, everyone's going to love it. But we lose one game and it's just like, oh my gosh, this is the end of the world. And it's all, I can't control what happens on the ice, you know, but I can control what's being out there on social. So controlling that and having that mindset is important, I think, going forward. Not sure if that totally answered the question. I feel like I kind of jumped different spots, but yeah, it's always kind of annoying when people are like, oh, you just tweet all day, you know, you just post a picture and call it good. It's like, I wish it was that easy at times.
I love it.
I think people are so ignorant to like what in any job, right? Like any position, no matter the field, which is just like so annoying because we hopefully all are, well, not everybody works, but it's, yeah, it's annoying. I mean, we all know that. No, I'm just kidding. I was thinking as you were talking about copywriting and how much of a skill that is and, you know, being able to put it into 180 characters. What are the tangible skills that you are always trying to work on and always trying to improve? Like copywriting, is that one of them? And what are the things that every day you just kind of like want to get better at?
It's definitely the copywriting. I think just trying to, creative writing in general, you know, I think for me, like, how do I get better at that? I think a lot of times I just spend time scrolling, like looking at how other brands, like I find a lot of inspiration from other leagues as well. Like I'm not just looking at what other hockey teams are doing. I'm looking at what NBA teams are doing, NFL teams, different clothing brands or random accounts of National Geographic. I can get inspiration from them and seeing how they, what their tone and what their voice is, you know? Cause I think if I get too comfortable and just doing the same thing over and over, then you're not really growing. You're not really engaging. Same for me. I'm always looking at what other accounts are doing and how they're going about it. And I kind of take that and say, okay, how can I fit that into our day-to-day posting or being willing to try new things? I think we have the luxury of being a new team. We can, like we were talking about earlier, we can try new stuff. I can try something different on social. Because at the end of the day, we're here to entertain people. It's social media, you know, like, yes, we can be serious at times, but I think we also want to have fun at times. You know, I think a lot of times people get so caught up in a very formal tone, but it's, once again, social. Let's have some fun with it. So I think just trying to find that different inspiration, you never know where it comes from. You know, so I always try to take notes, or my bookmarks on Twitter is crazy because I have all these just random ideas going there. But yeah, I think copywriting is something I work on every day.
With the growing age of artificial intelligence, how much effects are you seeing from that, and how much are you kind of leaning into AI with like the generators that we won't name any of them?
Yeah, we won't name any, but I mean, there's like that conversation. People like, oh, this is going to take over everyone's day to day jobs, you know, and it's like. Yeah, I would love to see AI try to do a social media, like try to be me for a day, you know, because the thing is, though, it's like, I know how we want to connect with fans, you know, like it's like, we know what the fans want to see, what they want to engage with. I don't know if AI can really grasp that, you know, saying so, a lot of the stuff we post, like it's kind of, a lot of stuff's like in the moment, you know, it could be during a game, it could be at the end of the game when the vibes are high and you really want to connect with your fans then. So it's a lot of times you go and just strictly off the emotion of that moment.
But you mentioned about like the human emotion component of like AI, maybe at some point can identify and replicate what we feel. But I'd love to hear your perspective on the intel that you have as a social media manager of all of the other things that are happening within not only the organization, but for the brand, with certain players, coaches, like things that the public might not know. How do you balance all of that in your day to day without, you know, or how do you feel about that in relation to AI?
Yeah, the AI stuff is just, it's such a weird thing to think about. You kind of touch on, like, it's at some point, it's creepy when I think about it, but I think with the and just knowing our team and our brand, it helps me. Like, obviously, I grew up in the Pacific Northwest, and each team, each brand is different out there. You know, like, you have, like, your, I always say, like, the Boston Bruins, like, they're more traditional tone and voice, you know, and, like, each, like, you can't copy that, in my opinion. Like, you're not going to have 32 NHL teams all have the same voice. Like, I can't. Like,
that would be creepy.
Yeah. It's like everyone's going to be different towards their audience, their fans. But yeah, I don't know. The AI stuff is just, I just don't see it happen with social media. Like, you get, you take away that human aspect. I think that's one thing we try to make with our social media. It's very, we want to humanize a lot of stuff, whether it's humanizing our players, what they're like off the ice, you know, trying to showcase their personality. And each player is different, you know, like, you can't create, it's not like NBA 2K. You're not creating these guys' personality on your own, you know? So it's like showcasing that. I just don't see how AI can copy that in the future, like, knowing how this guy might be different from another player.
Yeah, I think, and I remember, you know, going back a few months ago, having that same thought process, right? Once you like get in there and kind of learn how it can help, then you don't just necessarily like lean on, oh, I'm just going to put all my tweets in this generator. It's like, it can, I've seen it help, but it's almost the old saying, BS in, BS out, right? So if you put in, you know, BS, you're going to get, you know, what is regular. But I've learned over the course of the last few months, it's like the prompting is the secret sauce. Like, you give it all of the ingredients. It's no different.
Copywriting.
Right. It's no different than if you were making, you know, a dish and you gave it all the ingredients over here, then, you know, you put it in the oven or buying it already put together.
Yeah. I definitely use some programs too, like, to help me with some of the copywriting stuff. Like, there might be sometimes I'm like, I have this like big like paragraph of stuff. Okay, how do I shorten this? You know, it's like, right, I might plug some stuff in and see what it comes back with. You know, but at the same time, I got to make some tweaks just because, like, there's some language or some words that fans will know that's not our voice, right. That's not our tone. So at the end of the day, you're still tweaking it. And like I still, like, yeah. I said, I use a couple programs to help even just spark another idea or spark another way to say something. But at the end of the day, it is kind of making sure it matches the tone and the voice of whatever account you're running. Like, I'm not going to just put something in and then throw it out there. You know, you always want to review it and make sure it fits.
Yeah.
What's next in social media? I mean, it's been pretty, it's still fairly new. I mean, living in the age where what I've done, my wife keeps reminding me that it's pretty new, so don't get frustrated with when people don't understand or are dismissing things before you even get a chance to try them and all that kind of stuff. Where do you think social media will have its biggest impact here and going forward?
Man, I think I always kind of think of the way that anybody can create content. You know, like, we're seeing so many people having their own streams, having their own shows, like, on their own YouTube channels. You know, I think it's everyone now, like, you can do so much with your phone. I feel like, you know, the nice poll stuff is great, but it's social media. You want to be quick. You want to have your instant reaction to something. People want to see that behind the scenes look. I think having players, having their own networks, having their own media platforms now. I feel like every player and every like ex player has their own podcast. I feel like everyone in general has a podcast, you know. So it's like, and it's cool because you get to see them off the court, kind of just being themselves. So I really think the podcast industry will always be booming. But I think athletes really taking a hold of the resources that they have and them kind of showing their creativity as well. I think that's always something that's going to be continuing to grow. But with social media, there's always a new platform every day. I feel like there's always some kind of new update, but I think the one thing that doesn't change is like people being able to have access to learn more about you. You know, I think you can kind of showcase that in different ways.
It's interesting too, because I feel like when I was in Boston, our biggest thing was access access. Like, mm-hmm. as a team, we want to have more access, and we wanted to portray the players and give them a platform. Now that players have their own platform or can create their own platform, what kind of challenges does that create for teams, and how can they work together to amplify each other's voices?
Yeah, I think, well, with hockey, it's different. I think, like, it's not, I think everyone kind of knows that there's not too much personality when it comes to hockey. But I think for that kind of stuff, it's like you said, like, how do we help amplify that player to a wider audience using the resources that we have as well, but without taking away their voice in it. You know, I feel like a lot of times people tend to take something and they kind of put their own spin on it. So it's kind of, how do we keep that natural look for the player? And there's some couple players that we have that we know what their interests are. It's like, hey, we're here to help you. Kind of look as almost like an agency in a way, you know, like whether it's graphics, whether you need help with video stuff, it's just like being a resource there versus trying to take a hold of what they're creating, if that makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense. I love what you said about there being essentially more business opportunities for social media managers down the road, because like you said, it's, you know, I'm thinking of Steph Curry, and he's got SC30, and he's got Eat, Learn, Play, and he's got all of these different brands within, you know, the Curry brand. And of course, Steph is a different athlete. But I feel like there is going to be a lot of growth in social media. And I even say that I'm starting to see athletes on LinkedIn, right? Like, even that, like having a social presence is, like you said earlier, so much more than just like scrolling tweets and, you know, posting your first thought of the day. Like, that's not, might not be effective for the brand, although maybe, you know, depending on the person, it might be funny. But I love that perspective, and I never really considered the potential for business opportunities down the road as the social media, you know, industry is growing.
Yeah, it's like one thing I wish in the NHL, I wish players would kind of take more of that. Like, there's more money in your pockets, and it also builds credibility with fans. You know, I think here, I always use the example in Seattle, like when fans, when we see a player, like whether that's they're engaging with the community or doing something and actually showing that they want to be here and want to be involved, like we'll be a fan for you for life. You know, I think of like Marshawn Lynch here in Seattle, I think of Richard Sherman, like those kind of guys who are always coming back in the community, always showing love to Seattle. Like, you're going to have fans for life, people who are going to support you forever. So I think it's a missed opportunity if you're not taking advantage of that on social and just being yourself as well. I think a lot of times you see people kind of jump on social, but then it's very formal. You know, it's like, that's not who you really are. So it's like, how do you kind of showcase your personality out there in a way that's creative and having fans kind of engage with it? And like I said, it'll bring money to your pockets at some point too.
Yep. Totally agree. So what advice do you have for, you know, people who may be, you know, interested in sports, may think that they're going to play in a professional league one day, but finds themselves, you know, looking for a career, maybe interested in social media managing? What advice would you give for someone like that?
Yeah, I think a couple of things I said a few times on the call, like, it's, don't be afraid to try something different. You know, you might be like, hey, I want to work in the NBA. That's great. It's good to have a goal. But there might be a different path for you. It might be going through an agency or going through a media company, maybe even a TV station. Because like I said, that will open up a door that you might not even know about. It might bring new skills to you. You can always learn something new everywhere you go. So I mean, your goal could be the NBA, but there's going to be other ways to get there. And there might be, you might not know what that is. And just don't be afraid to try something new. Like, I feel like I'm the example of that. Like I said, I'm in hockey, you know, so I'm enjoying it. You know, you never know what might come from it. So I think with that, and then also your personal brand, I think using, because let's say if you're applying to a job, the first thing that person is going to do is most likely Google you to see your social media. So I think making sure yourself's appropriate, but I think just being active on there, and you can always create stuff on your own. You know, if you have a passion for clothes, and how do you kind of go about showcasing that on your social media? You know, there's so many different avenues to go about that. I think not being afraid to try new things on the social media space is great. And then obviously networking. I feel like we've always been told to network. And LinkedIn's great, don't get me wrong, but I always use Twitter. You know, like I looked at, hey, this person's a social media manager for this team or this brand. If you just follow them, you kind of get a glimpse of what their life is outside of work, you know? And I'm not saying you go follow people and then DM them immediately. I think it's more natural interaction. I think when you do reach out to people, making sure you're not just showing, hey, I'm so-and-so, I'm this student, like, kind of have a job. You know, it's an instant turnoff when I see that on LinkedIn or any emails and DMs. You know, it's more just building those relationships. Because you never know, that person might be thinking about you for a different role, and they might see something in their network as well. So try something new, networking, and then utilizing your own personal, your personal brand.
Where can the guests find you on social if you want new followers?
Well, first I got to plug the Kraken. So make sure you follow us at Seattle Kraken. Show some love there. Make it your favorite hockey team. And then on social, Twitter, I'm at ZA Pagans. And then IG, I'm at ZA Pagans. Twitter, I'm Z Pagans. But yeah, you can find me there. Obviously, connect with me on LinkedIn. But make sure you show love to the Kraken first and then follow me.
When they first announced the Kraken, I feel like everybody on Twitter blew up about the branding and the look and the feel. And it's awesome to hear, you know, a direct story from like the very beginning to now. So
it's cool. And we kept that on the low. Like it didn't leak. Like I was doing the post on like LinkedIn and Facebook. They didn't even tell me the team name or like what the logo looked like until like maybe when I was uploading the video. So I didn't find out until like 5 minutes
for
the launch. Yeah, they kept that sealed. Like I had no idea.
Now I want to know who were the people that kept it all tight, because I feel like that's rare these days.
Yeah, I was like, yes. Yeah, there's no leaks there, which is impressive. But yeah, I had no idea what it was going to be until like 5 minutes before we posted it.
Wow, that's awesome. That's kind of cool, actually. Like, you don't know what you're posting about. It's like exciting. Oh, I want to ask about thrift shopping.
Yeah, this is my mom got me on thrift shopping. Young, like growing up, like she always go to Goodwill and she's always finding good stuff. And I think it's tough because like when I was young, it's like, oh no, I want to go shop at like Finish Line or what's like American Eagle and all that stuff. But then my mom's like, she kind of showed me the stuff. Like, you can find this stuff at Goodwill, you know. And so at a young age, I was always kind of had that secondhand mindset. Like you can find a lot of good stuff. Now buy something. Like, you know, today now, like everyone's really into the vintage stuff. Back in Yakima, I used to find all like the old school, like college t-shirts and crew necks. We used to always wear those. I wish I kept them because they would be so much more money now. But people would be like, yo, where'd you get that from? I'm like, oh, Goodwill. Because I think at the time people thought like, Goodwill is embarrassing to do that. But now it's like a cool thing. But I feel like I used to do that before like Macklemore made it all big with the shopping song. But I'm always thrifting, always trying to find the deals. So it's tough for me to go to like a regular store now and buy stuff new. I'm like, man, I could find this probably in Goodwill. I could find this like on a
50% off discount.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Like I'm not paying $40 for a t-shirt. I can get this. I can get two t-shirts like $10. You know, so. It's like, but having that mindset, but yeah, I always love going to a shop and just finding new items. And it's always fun to tell people when people are like, oh, where'd you get that from? I'm like, oh, I got this from Goodwill. I'm like, no way. So that's always been a joy.
Yeah, we got the Seattle vibes in the room. We got Macklemore. So of course, thrift shop, that song, what a banger back when it came out. Yeah. But yeah, I'm with you. I love thrift shopping. There's a secondhand store by my parents' house in Chicago that I've been going to literally since grade school. So it's curious to me seeing how it's all becoming a trend now. But for me, I care a lot about sustainability. So that's another part about it that I think people don't always realize. Like there's so much stuff that is being mass produced. So in a way it's good for the environment too. But that's awesome. I love that your mom put you on that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Let's talk about the food in Seattle. What's kind of the go-to there for you?
I mean, when I when people ask for a recommendation, I always say, you got to get some seafood up here. You know, you got to get a bowl of clam chowder. You have to get it in the bread bowl. I think that's the only way you should eat clam chowder. I'm trying to think what else. We have the one thing, we don't have too many barbecue spots up here. I do like barbecue food, but it's tough to find that up here. But I think you never go wrong with seafood up here in Seattle. And it's always fresh. It just sucks when I travel different spots. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can trust seafood. Like, I have the best seafood up in the Pacific Northwest. So I always get some salmon. But yeah, if you come to Seattle, I always try to recommend some kind of seafood spot if you're into it.
Yeah, it's funny. I just remembered this when you brought up seafood in Seattle. Karina and I actually met in Seattle.
That's right. I forgot. Yeah. That was one of my favorites.
It's like 2016. Maybe that's where I met. 2015.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds about right. That was amazing. We got to go see, we saw UW.
Yep.
We got to visit
the baseball stadium. We went to baseball, football.
The idea.
Yeah.
Yep.
And,
idea UW. Conference.
Yep.
UW was awesome because they
right on the water
brought us in on the boat. Somebody had mentioned that that's how they bring in some of the high level recruits. And I'm like, oh my God, that's game over compared to half the other universities. Cause it's such a cool, unique experience. And you're close to a big city.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no better tailgate experience. You can tailgate on land or you can go cellgating, which is really fun.
Cellgating. I love that.
And the boats just pull you right up to the stadium. You just walk right in.
Yeah. It's kind of like Tennessee. Tennessee has.
They do that in Tennessee?
Yeah, they got they got some water around there somewhere where they.
Yeah, I think it's just us in Tennessee that you can really do that at.
Huh. I didn't know you could do that in Tennessee. That's awesome. Now I got to add that to my list.
Yeah.
So we got to make a creator sports podcast trip to Seattle. Well,
now Washington is in the Big Ten. There's more of a reason to get out there.
It's a beautiful stadium though. I really enjoyed it. Like Karina was saying, like
very sleek and modern.
Yeah, they took us from like not far from where the hotel was. We took a boat and they had music and food and all the vibes to be able to And I still got those videos on my phone of like that. It was a great experience.
Oh yeah, and that's another stadium that gets really loud here in Seattle too. So,
well, thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day. Special thanks to APM for providing the music used in the podcast today. We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions, so pop on over to the Sports Creative Community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives. If you're not a member and would like to join, go to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free. Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.